In Minneapolis, the killing of Alex Pretty by federal agents has pushed many questions to the fore. One that Patrick Johnson explores for us today. How does the idea of constitutional gun rights as a defense against tyranny coexist with law enforcement tactics seen by some as pushing constitutional boundaries? This is the most extreme test case for the claims of gun groups over the last couple of decades, Chad Kautzer, an associate professor of philosophy at Lehigh University, tells Patrick. It's a heightened moment of contradiction and revelation. It's Wednesday, January 28th. This is the Monitor Daily Podcast. Good morning. I'm Ira Porter. First, our curation of news briefs from our staff writers around the world. Many of these are developing stories. Find the latest updates at csmonitor.com/newsbriefs. An ICE unit will offer security at the Milan Olympics, confirms the U.S. Department of Homeland Security. Those agents will support diplomatic security, not conduct immigration enforcement. They come from ICE's Homeland Security Investigations, which oversees a broad range of criminal investigations, such as human trafficking and financial crimes. Officers working for a separate division of ICE are the ones most often tasked with detaining and deporting immigrants. Yet citing ICE-involved killings and other aggressions in the United States, the mayor of Milan has said the agency is not welcome. UNICEF said it has begun delivering school kits to Gaza for the first time in more than 2 years after Israeli authorities approved the entry of learning materials. Thousands of kits have arrived, with more expected. A spokesperson for the UN Children's Agency told Reuters they are finally seeing a real change after widespread disruptions to schooling. It comes as Hamas is reportedly seeking to fold its roughly 10,000 police officers into a new U.S.-backed Palestinian administration for Gaza, a proposal likely to face Israeli opposition. Also, social media companies are under legal scrutiny over claims that their platforms harm young people's mental health, following a lawsuit filed by a California teen and her mother. The suit alleges that the companies knowingly designed addictive features that contribute to depression, self-harm, and suicidal thoughts. TikTok and Snap settled ahead of the start of this week's trial, while Meta and YouTube are set to defend themselves before a jury in Los Angeles. One advocate told CNN the trial is the first step toward accountability. Now, today's Monitor stories. As always, you can go to csmonitor.com for our latest news. Alex Pretty was a lawful gun owner and not brandishing his weapon when he was disarmed and then fatally shot by federal agents. The resulting controversy focuses on an incident that appears to contradict decades of conservatives' effort to legitimize public gun carry. Patrick Johnson reports from Tybee Island, Georgia, for The Monitor. Democrats in Congress had planned to support funding to avert another government shutdown. They changed course after federal agents killed two people opposing immigration enforcement in Minneapolis, and now say securing Department of Homeland Security reforms is worth the price of a shutdown. Caitlin Babcock reports for The Monitor. Despite billions in foreign aid to Haiti, life for most Haitians hasn't improved. Solutions must come from the people, says one local minister. Contributor Linnea Firm reports from Port-au-Prince, Haiti, for The Monitor. In Pakistan, U.S.-Pakistan rapprochement has always been viewed as a double-edged sword. But now that Islamabad is joining Trump's Board of Peace, many worry the government has made a Faustian pact. Contributor Hassan Ali reports from Islamabad for The Monitor. Our reviewers' picks for the month include a tribute to winter, a police blotter's worth of mysteries, and a real-life spy thriller involving the KGB. this tantalizing crop of books has something for every reader. Staff writers and contributors write for the Monitor. Now, commentary from the Monitor's editorial board on the civic future of America's past. Amid a fraught political environment, Americans are preparing to mark the 250th anniversary of the United States this year. It's a timely opportunity for both honest self-reflection and potential unity around the remarkable story of national achievement and a recognition of all that still needs doing to fully realize the country's founding ideals. Two-thirds of Americans, the Pew Research Center reported this week, believe it is extremely or very important to publicly discuss historical strengths and successes, as well as flaws and failures. Yet, the nation still disagrees on how to tell its history. The Trump administration has issued directives to parks and museums to remove signage that it views as not in alignment with shared national values. Last week, the city of Philadelphia filed a lawsuit against the Interior Department for removing exhibits referencing slavery at the site of a residence once occupied by George Washington. The city council deemed this an effort to whitewash American history. The exhibits were controversial in 2010 when they opened during the Obama administration. At the same time, according to a report by the Center-Left Progressive Policy Institute, recent historical scholarship has tended to present a one-sided and unrelentingly negative portrait of the U.S., examining its moral failings, but nothing about its virtues. Studying nearly 100 articles published in American Quarterly, a journal of the American Studies Association, the report found that 80% were critical of the U.S., 20% were neutral, and not one was positive. Ideally, the researchers said, scholars should seek to capture the whole of America, the challenges alongside the heroism, the slavery and segregation, but also freedoms and values that gave rise to the civil rights movement, economic inequality, with an understanding of how the country came to have the world's most vibrant economy. Their observation echoes counsel that President Barack Obama offered in 2015 during a speech honoring civil rights marchers in Selma, Alabama. To deny hard-won progress, our progress, Mr. Obama said, would be to rob us of our own agency, to do what we can to make America better. Attaining a candid and balanced reckoning with history is a worthy endeavor, one that might help bridge political divides and offer guideposts for the next 250 years. The process would call for a willingness to consider varied perspectives, especially from those whose stories and contributions have previously been ignored. But it would also need to avoid what one historian has described as reading the present into the past, judging and condemning history and historical figures by present-day norms and standards. Ultimately, coalescing around a shared history is about a civic purpose that goes beyond academic debate or disciplines. As late sociologist James Lowen observed, we aren't just learning about the past to satisfy our curiosity. We are learning about the past to do our jobs as Americans. The stories you just heard are from today's newsletter. Find these stories and more at csmonitor.com. For more Monitor podcasts, go to csmonitor.com/podcasts. For other audio offerings from our parent organization, go to christianscience.com/audio. Today's Christian Science Spiritual Perspective contributor shares how as we strive to see our days the way God sees them, we experience greater satisfaction and productivity. Find the full column at csmonitor.com/csperspective. Thanks to today's audio production team, Noel Flatt, Audrey Thiebert, and Mackenzie Farkas.
This podcast is produced by the Christian Science Monitor in Boston, Massachusetts, USA. Copyright 2026.